Okay, great. Weather over the last few days reminded me of a funeral I went to about 30 years ago with a dear friend and her husband, the poet Robert Creason, Roland Foyle. We're just looking for a reading. I want to dampen down the atmosphere. We're too full of, I don't know, blood and gore. St. Andrew's Day, 1985. St. Andrew's Day, 9 November, fumbling the hurt leaves, bleached gutter orphans, half-light domesticates roll brick, a mediocre day not to be remembered. It is 2 o'clock at Ladbroke Grove. I board a bus. The mourners are gathering in Glengariff. Is it drizzling there? I hear the rain touch typing the elegy on the bay waters. Though in her will she said no flowers, our daughter will place Veronica on the coffin, born through the woods. The old Killeen. Will the funeral go to plan? Discreetly. Even in the drizzle, I imagine falling on the lands of Gale and Plantus. I say a London goodbye to a lost wife. Remember our times of roses, promises, the silver sea at our Gashel. Earrings of fuchsia in the hedgerows, hope arching like a rainbow over all.
All right. Thank you very much, Charles. Next up is Martin McCarthy.
I want to change the mood as well. When lots of us leave here tonight, we become lovers, we become different selves. This is a poem for the lovers out there. It's called Song at Nightfall. I want to make this sound like a poem, so I'm going to give it a good lash. Night falls, and I ache to undo the belt of your burning body. I ache to touch the soothing fire of your cool thigh. Night falls and I ache to follow with closed eyes the sensual highway of your skin. Night falls and I ache to receive the jewels of tenderness you locked in some unused corner of your heart. Night falls and I ache to feel your two hands breaching the pillowed edges of the known world. Night falls and I ache to see you trembling and excited and all lit up with a sense of everlasting life. Night falls and I ache to lie beside you in that synagogue of silence and softness before the machines wake. Night falls and I ache for you, my love, as I have never ached before for anyone. That's it.
Well, that's what we call giving a good lash, remember. Okay, guys. Next up is Philip Spillane.
Oh, that's poetry, wasn't it? Just give me a second there. So, this is from a group of poems I'm working on called Personal Moon. And the whole idea is that, I think I read 2 of them out here before. The whole idea is that we used to look at the moon for guidance. The moon used to only come out once a month. And we used to look at it to tell the future, to predict what will happen. It was our religion. We saw images in the moon. We loved the moon. And now we have the moon in our pockets. We have the moon on our laptops, and it's full all the time. We have our own personal full moon. It's our guidance, and we love it. And this is what personal moon is all about. And it's not like preaching. It's just meant to be like making us aware of how much we rely on these devices. And this one's a little more personal, but I hope you like it. Part 3, social space. In dark winter midnights, a modern druid is stargazing, frozen like he's out in space, bird-watching stars to see them depart. Did you know that it's so easy to see falling stars? When you stare at a speckled organism long enough, you see one sneak out of a constellation, fly softly away overhead, like it gained happy thoughts and pushed from the join-the-dots pencil circuit. This is science, like tested, approved theory and truth. He smiled in a realistic entertainment and secretly wishes to tell his great friend, the one that shared this fact, the one that's surrounded by a tower of shot glasses and smiles at paint with painted lipstick, always across a table on a romantic midnight date. He texts her half his poem. He can only see her picture, role-playing that the smile is for him. What if the falling stars vanishes from all sources in social space? Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. I hope someday he texts the other half of the poem. That's lovely, lady. Next up is Jude.
I wasn't expecting to be up so soon, was I? I'm going to sing a song for you instead of reading a poem. It's quite a well-known song, but it's quite old. Irish. All about tonight. And my father owns you for your lack of faith. And she stepped away from me, and then she did say, it will not be long left. She stepped away from me, and she threw. And fondly I watched her move here and move there. Then she went her way homeward with one star away, as the swan in the evening. The people were saying no to her end. But one has a sorrow that never said. And I smiled as she passed me with contemplation. And that was the last that I saw her like me. dreamt it last night. My young love came in. So softly she entered, her feet made London. Then she came close beside me, and then she didn't say it will not be long.
Good man, Jude. I'm not sure if he'll be singing, but he is one of the people that will be appearing in the Alchemy between 7 and 10 on Saturday night at the 96-for-1 festival. If he's not singing, he'll be doing poetry, and it's worth checking out anyway. So next up is Maria Kelly.
As well, because Maria, in Polish I introduce myself as Maria, and my surname used to be Wojtyla, but I've heard so many different versions, Wojtyla and different type of things, and I just thought that I'm gonna, you know, just be kind to a person who has to pronounce it, and it is much easier Kelly, but it is just so much more popular as well, and I have to say that I haven't taken it into account as much before, but it is a separate topic. But anyway, thank you very much for having me here and for this absolutely wonderful event. And I just wanted to thank again to all of you for that immense, really work they put into this and accumulating so many people together, connecting people together. And I'm not going to read it out, you know, because now I think like I have so many more important things to say about all of you. And I know it's unexpected, kind of coming spontaneously, but I think it's incredible, isn't it? We are all here and, you know, we are all sharing something. And I think there is nothing more beautiful than that, so thank you. So I'm not going to give any introduction, and without any further ado, 4 out of 30, 31, 32. Liberty. One view can be seen in different ways. Often lack of acceptance causes it to phase. When you sit down on a chair and feel discomfort, do you stay still? Or do your mind springs a thought to immediately probe a different option, as it does not demand much devotion? For choice is always there, just varying in range, for curtains are different to everyone's stage, yet its maintenance process is all the same, giving no reason for anyone to feel invented shame. The result of influence equals huge relativity, for its power lies in circumstantial gravity. In need, one can change one's position, curving the frames of one's own vision. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria, for sparing me the effort of pronouncing your correct surname. I will tell you, when she said Maria Kelly, I said, God, you don't look Irish. And she never said a word. Now, next up is Samir St. John Oshafi.
Hello. That's grand. So, once again, I didn't finish my 5-word poem on time, so this is my 5-word poem now. No name this time has come to me yet. I've plumbed depths deep like Pacific trenches be, whenever I endeavor here to in contention be. I'm fluent in my fluency when no one's looking, honestly. Just when I'm stood up here, the fear of mockery keeps locking thee. Several integral components that empower me to shower these semantic consonantics and tongue bowlery. Down on thee, from here I stand upon this elevation. In avarice, I greedily feed on your exaltation. No calculations got me here. I freewheel life lazily, except in the jaws of your applause. Those bonds make me a slave to ye.
If I were you, Samir, I'd have a word of rab about that free pint.
That was probably long gone if the truth was up.
Patricia Walsh.
This is called travel literature. Hereditary failures, rearing the sick. Parks and gardens, secret places of our hands. You're awful, but I like you nonetheless. Travelling through islands to run home to. A road to amplification of present desires. Meandering through channels of bodified water. Aurora making a surplus to sundry. Addicted to direction, place a rumble. Coasting through a home for the moment. A novice's guide to watery outbursts. Travelling in no gear, drinking in sunshine. 1,000 miles without cloak and dagger. Original navigators at a loss to describe. Whatever to hand, dancing to its own music. Eating scenery, writing with dice, to content. The crown weighs heavy as you like it. Visions of a knife relieving boredom. Roads leading to Rome, a weary journey. The arts follow you, urge you to write. On topical subjects, the kiss and caboodle. A separate cinema, coding to impossibilities. Recycled technology and pains to sever. Storing outside pubs to relax somewhat. Commemorating living for once instead. Drinking happily, not knowing the outcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Tricia. I'm going to rob one of those lines. What a title for a book. A Novice's Guide to Watery Outbursts. Max Creedon. I didn't panic, I knew Max was coming.
Quick five-word challenge. I am over the five-word challenge. Avaricious he was, starved ravenous, calculating the interval between each meal. Fluent and unerring in his rituals, he had to pique his appetite. He planned each repast with military precision. Several times they tried to distract him, make an intervention, but their cause was lost. He was intent only on gastric delights. No other carnal matters could please him. Until one day, a gentle ultimatum whispered to his ear, demurely, put a right stop to his gallop, and he had to set his mind about tackling an indulgence in another type of deadly sin entirely. So that was my five words. Right, so this is time. This is just for a man who came from our parish. An amazing guy who was a pilot in America for years, and he took these fantastic pictures in the 60s, and they developed them and did this beautiful exhibition, but he was too old to come, and I communicated with him in email. So I went to the exhibition and I really was moved, and I wrote a song that night and I sent it to him the next day in the email. So this is the song, if I can do it. Leave behind the sun, going back to where it must be raining, and nothing changes. But it ain't half so bad, 'cause all those pairs of blue eyes will be waiting to smile their welcome. And I know this is where your whole story started. I know this is where it began. No one else in the world can claim their heart is sealed, sealed in the history of our time. Together, you're going home to the midst of your home.
in these pictures. You have steel, you steal a state of time and grace. You have captured a time capsule in these faces. We remember another time that's passed away, but for you, but for you. Leave behind the sun, going back to where it must be raining, and nothing changes, but this time we're here with you. In the gloaming of the evening and these pictures of our shared memory. And I know this is where your old story started. I know this is where it began. No one else in the world can claim your heart is sealed in the history of our time together. We're going home to the mist of your home place in these pictures. You who steal a state of time and grace. You have captured a time capsule in these faces. We remember another time that's passed away, but for you, but for you, but for you. Mr. Dan McCarthy.
Yeah, that's Mags, you know. She goes to an exhibition and she just goes home and writes a song. You know? Just what happens, you know. She writes poems and she sketches. Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know? One of those people who love this life but you can't. Yeah. Right, we're at the end of the night. We're going to give the pleasure of closing the 473rd of Ale to a man who a very long ago was in your Christy Clark.
Gone to your care notes before I finish. I was going to read a poem here actually to keep it kind of thematic with the 1916 stuff and that, but I've changed my mind. But just what I was going to read was about these sort of three blind drunk mice actually. Two of them were shot later by a retired bus driver, this foregone drunk me, an Englishman. And the other one became a TD. But somebody introduced the Yawl into the night, and it's yourself, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And that made me all nostalgic, because I left Yawl about half nine.
Okay.
And I kind of got, I missed this, and when I heard the Yawl being mentioned, I changed tack and I decided I'd read this instead. Did you ever go to pub crawling, Yawl? Yes. Did anybody ever go to pub crawling?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you all doing for the night? Okay, yeah, what do you have? This is really good. Here. Some nice.
They'll be here
for you. We can pop crawl all the way to you all then. Some of the names referenced in this poem no longer exist, but most of them do. And as with all poems that I write, it's a true story. It's called A Sick Man. He seemed in some distress when he called round to my door. I need a place, the city said. I feel a little poor. I let him in and straight away could see he was unwell, though what it was he suffered from was pretty hard to tell. He had a running nosebleed, so I got a little cup. Here, pour it into that, I said, it'll save me mopping up. A bulging boiled blood like a bulb had pressed against his collar, and when he tried to turn his neck, he gave a painful holler. His skin was sort of yellow and his eyes were purple rings. His breath evoked the essence of sludge and wheelie bins. His voice was low and raspy, his teeth were green and brown, and when he smiled across at me, he looked like Shane McGowan. His eyes were rolling in his head and he said his stomach hurt as the centipede and gyre feed a puke across his shirt. His acne spots were bursting and each one left a trace like a little shiny custard pie running down his face. You can relate to this, can't you? His hands were shaking, his body quaking, his skin was flaking, his ass was making noises like a storm breaking, he was chain smoking and bent on choking, and with every word that he had spoken, the good Lord's name he was invoking. You look a little rough, I said, if I may say so, mate. He shook his head and then he said, I got a bad pint in the gate. Of stale porter in the porterhouse, maybe why I look so shook. Or perhaps some chap gave me some crap while I was in the nook. Though all the same, maybe the blame is down to Michael Farrell or Diddy Orr's club. I thought the pint served me a legal barrel. The two I drowned in Highlands may have brought me to my knees, but for all I know, it could have been the first one in JD's. Was it in the hands amongst the ferns I got the brutal jar, or am I unsteady after Eddie and Tom McCarty's bar? But the five I had in Mackey's could also have caused this, or then again in Jimmy Brown's I may have drank some piss. I hit the Dev and Tides besides, I was in Clancy's in between before I mashed across the road for a few in the Marine. The rugby club was open too and I threw back two or three. Oh God forbid the golf club might have caused this to me. I hit three or four in the Red Store, I was in Bertie's when I fell, and I showed my face in the usual place and in the Keys as well. Could Moby Dicks have made me sick, or a Walter Raleigh dose? But if nowhere else, there must have been the All In, I suppose. And then he said, it isn't fair that they should all be blamed. That's why the dodgy public house must be both named and shamed. I'll be all right once I've had a shite and I'm going out again tonight. I may get plastered, but I'll find a bastard who sabotaged my skite. I took his hand and said I'd planned to have a quiet night in. But if he was out to stop Bet Stout, then he could count me in. We'd find a tap that's pouring crap and make the landlord take the rap. And if it takes a week to do it by God, we'll see it through. Get me caught. Good game, Margaret.